Hello, all who are listening. This is Trent Dunmath again, an employee with Distress and Crisis Ontario. Distress and Crisis Ontario is a support organization to provide 24/7 virtual emotional support, referrals, and suicide prevention in the areas of stress, anxiety, grief, or loss. Our centers provide free virtual service to a wider variety of the population in language, age, and geographic areas. Today, we have an interview with Morgan Weatherup, a healthcare professional who deals firsthand with mental health. And we are going to talk today about what she does and how COVID-19 has been affecting the mental health society. So, hello, Morgan. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Hi, thanks for having me. Like Trent said, my name is Morgan. I am a healthcare professional who works both in the healthcare system and at a community level through private practice. The basis of my work focuses on working with children and adolescents and their families, and coping with the day-to-day stress, depression, and other complex mental health disorders, whether it's eating disorders or personality disorders. So I'm happy to be here today and talk a little bit about what the mental health system is looking like right now with everything that's going on in our world.
Well, we are very happy to help you. So what kind of people specifically do you help with? Are you, what form of mental health?
So currently in my hospital practice, I do work with some of Ontario and North America's more complex eating disorder cases. So from children from the ages of 12 to 18 struggling with complex eating disorders and other comorbidities. From a community level of practice, I work with families who are going through separation and divorce or kids who are experiencing a wide variety of anxieties, whether that be separation anxiety, generalized anxiety, or social anxiety, as well as OCD, personality disorders, and general depression and stress. I try to focus my efforts on the adolescent and young adult population because I think that that's a population that is quite underserviced and is experiencing a lot of very unique issues in our world today, and especially during times like this.
So what kind of changes have you seen since the pandemic has started? How has that affected your job and your industry?
So mental health has basically been turned upside down. It's been quite the couple weeks from a healthcare perspective and community level practice. We've been working really hard to adapt to this new way of living. From a healthcare standpoint, it's been very difficult for the unit that I work on. Our unit has had to change into a COVID treatment center to best serve the surrounding hospitals and the overflow of patients that are coming through with COVID-19. So from a hospital level, in terms of risks, we've all gone through a shutdown. So there's no visitors coming into the hospital. And if they are coming in, it's very, very limited. So working with an adolescent population, we've noticed an increased amount of anxiety and distress amongst our patients because they're now lacking a lot of their emotional support from a family perspective that they were relying on and depending on in order to maintain recovery or work towards recovery. So that's been really challenging. And we've been, from a hospital level, been trying to utilize all the different technologies like Zoom and OTM to try to find virtual ways for our patients to connect with their loved ones through this really difficult time. We've noticed a lot of people develop symptoms of grief and trauma around being socially isolated in this type of environment, and the same has been seen in the community. So from a private practice standpoint, we've had to also shift all of our work to virtual sessions. And in the first couple of weeks of this pandemic, a lot of people, I think, weren't sure what was happening and had kind of taken a step back on therapy and I think wanted to stay at home and try to be with their families. And over the last week or so, we've actually seen an increase in the amount of people reaching out, feeling that their anxieties are getting a lot worse and that their depression is starting to increase. And we're seeing a lot of family conflict happening. So a lot of parents calling, not knowing what to do to manage the stress of having their kids home 24 hours and kind of just this new level of stress that we've all not been used to because the world has turned into such a busy place and we spend less and less time together. So it's been a big adjustment for families, and we're seeing a lot of kind of stress and grief and trauma symptoms come through from a community level as well.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense with the amount of changes that have gone on and people not really having a chance to adapt very quickly, and they're just kind of being thrown into it.
Yeah.
So what other resources do you have that you can give somebody who is going through that, who you may not be able to help right away, but you can maybe push them towards something? Do you have anything like that you guys use?
Yeah, so there's a number of crisis centers that we refer to. So Kids Helpline is doing everything they can right now to ramp up their counselors to decrease the wait times, whether it's through calls or texts. And then obviously crisis centers like you as well, who are offering support, has been a really, really great resource for us to be able to refer people who are waiting or who we can't help right away. We also are having people use a lot of resources that are being available online. So a lot of fitness studios and a lot of meditation studios and yoga studios are now offering their classes virtually for free or for a significantly reduced cost. So we're recommending that people really make time to structure their days and include self-care and time to be connected, and also time to just be connected with themselves rather than others, to be able to have kind of that peace and that grounding. So in terms of what people can do outside of formal therapy or formal support, is really, really being able to look at how you can structure your day and fill these days so that way they're not just rolling by.
Yeah, filling your day and keeping yourself busy, I'm sure, has been something that a lot of people have been struggling with that can add to their anxiety, as financial losses has been relevant with people losing their jobs, and there's a bit of a struggle there. Have you had to deal with much support through that in the financial aspect of it?
Yeah, it's been actually, especially at the hospital level, because we are a provincial program. So our caregivers and our families are from all over the province. And so we've had a lot of parents who live in more rural areas in Ontario reach out and talk about the significant loss and trauma of losing their income or being laid off, and some of these people working for years and years and years at the same company, and now companies experiencing mass layoffs due to COVID-19. So we've seen parents kind of reach out and look for their own support, because it's all of the things that are happening have complicated their ability to be supportive for their loved ones, or to kind of be present with their loved ones, whether it's through phone or through video, because of the significant changes and just like the unknown that's happening in the world right now. So we've definitely experienced some panic from families and from parents around how they're going to support their loved ones going forward, and things like that, with all of the changes that will outlast COVID-19 in terms of from an economy perspective.
Very true. So have you seen a spike in people who have been willing to reach out? Have your centers had an increase in patients? And how have they been kind of learning about you guys?
Yeah, so from the hospital, we haven't, because all of the other hospitals have been shut down and we receive referrals from other outside hospitals. So we haven't seen a big increase in terms of the work I do within the hospital system. But from a community level, yes, there's been a significant increase in people over the last week. That we were kind of slow for a while when all this started, but over the last week, I think people have started to really realize that they're struggling and that this is going to be longer than the initial 2 weeks that we kind of all thought. So people are, I think, reaching out to us. There's a lot of advertising happening on Facebook and on Instagram and through Psychology Today, where you can find a variety of therapists in your area or groups or services. So we've been noticing people becoming curious about the world of online therapy, which I think has been a really scary and taboo form of treatment. So where we are seeing people reach out, and that's great. We're happy that people are putting themselves first and acknowledging that their struggle, and we hope people continue to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Letting them know that there are resources to help and that they are wanting to is definitely key. Is there any other advice that you could give to people with what's going on, even from a personal level?
Yeah, I think it's been hard for all of us. So even though I'm a child and family therapist and kind of on the front lines of all this, it's been extremely stressful, even for myself personally. And what I found has been helpful for myself and my family and also the patients and clients that I work with has been really, really trying to make sure that you're connecting with the people in your life. So a lot of people are realizing that they actually don't have that strong of connections in their life, or they haven't really made long-lasting connections. So being able to reach out to people, whether it's people in your family or even like your acquaintances or work friends, and just being able to check in and see how other people are doing, because what I've noticed and what my patients and clients have reported back to me, that when they've reached out to people they normally wouldn't have, or reached out to people that they've not had really strong relationships with, it's actually been very refreshing, and it's been an opportunity for them to build these stronger and long-lasting relationships, because everybody's wanting to connect right now and everybody's feeling anxious about reaching out. So as awful and as uncomfortable as it feels to have to reach out or ask to talk with somebody, even if it's someone you work with every day but don't have a strong relationship with, it is so important, and people are super appreciative and receptive to making these new connections through such a scary and anxiety provoking time. So reach out, use FaceTime, use Zoom, whatever you can. And even as simple as watching Netflix with somebody else on video has been so that's really powerful for a lot of people. And I know it's been really, really helpful for people in my family to be able to connect that way, because we're all so separated right now.
That's great. I heard you say that there, and I don't know if all of our listeners will really necessarily know what it is, but I know it's been useful for a lot of people. Can you kind of just give us a little example of what Zoom is and how you've used it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually such a great app. I've used it prior to all of this happening, but now that everything is virtual, I've been using it for all of my sessions with my private practice clients. And it's basically a platform where you're able to have multiple different people have video chats together. And there's so many cool features on Zoom, whether it's sharing your screen so that way you can watch videos or movies together, or look at pictures together, or even do, like, I've been doing meditation and mindfulness with groups of people together through Zoom, or even just like lighthearted having fun. There's a function where you can have a whiteboard or a chalkboard on your screen and just playing tic-tac-toe, or I've had families play Pictionary together to try to connect. And it's been especially useful for those people who do have loved ones who have COVID in their home and they're being isolated within their own home. So being able even just to have like meals together when you can't actually be in the same room together. So it's a great resource, and I highly recommend using that if you'd like to connect with multiple people in multiple different places.
Yeah, it can be a great resource to keep the conversation going and keep people together. Well, I hope you are doing well, and we appreciate the work that you do on a daily basis. And now with the spiked levels of anxiety and stress that is going on in the world. So thank you very much for taking the time to have a conversation with us. And we hope we can help and in any way we can. So thank you very much, Morgan.
Thanks for having me, and thank you for all that you guys do. It's such an important service.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forms podcast. Over the past year, we've been busy converting our Learning Forms series of videos into podcasts and thinking of new ways to continue delivering new and more in-depth content. We've seen the demand, and we're announcing our move to Pinecast and our new tip jar function. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress and crisis Ontario and donating. And in return, we'll be recording new follow-up episodes on some of our most popular topics. These will be accessible for tippers only and will help pay for travel, web hosting, etc. For the interim, you'll still be able to access existing content on both the Pinecast and Fireside feeds for free, but eventually we'll be making the switch to Pinecast. Thank you for your understanding.